You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's just take a moment and begin with prayer. Loving Spirit, Mother, Father, God, we give thanks for this beautiful day of life and the wonders all around us. And we give thanks for the time together this morning as we join our hearts and minds in a consciousness of oneness with God and one another. We open ourselves to the living Spirit of Truth. And we do claim a blessing. We know that each person here is in some way blessed through this service. Whether it's a healing need, or guidance, prosperity, peace and harmony, faith, whatever the need is, we claim that blessing. And we give thanks for this special purpose for which we are here, to select a minister for Unity of Tustin. And so we are aligned with perfect divine order, knowing that God is in charge of this process and all is well. All is being done for the greatest good of all. And so for this and for this sacred time together this morning, we say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Well, I am very blessed to introduce Reverend Kathy McCall to you guys all today. Reverend Kathy McCall has experience in most areas of the ministry, serving from 1990, having served at different Unity churches in Tempe, Arizona, Palo Alto, Santa Cruz, Santa Rosa, and most currently in Torrance in California. We know where that is, right?
Yeah.
So Reverend Kathy is also a board member of the Unity Southwest region, in which of course we are, and the Unity Church of Alhambra Foundation, which meets here, and other members of our community are very in prominent part of that foundation. It provides financial resources to support regional churches. Kathy's background is eclectic. She has studied both Western and Eastern mystic traditions and is a professional astrologer and certified dream worker. She loves to synthesize truth from many disciplines and has taught classes and workshops incorporating myth, storytelling, spiritual wisdom, and humor for many years. She is the author of The Unorthodox Life, Walking Your Own Path to the Divine, which was endorsed by Matthew Fox, Andrew Harvey, both of whom we've had here several times, and others. So that's the official introduction. Now my own version here is that yesterday in a workshop, how many of you were there? Yes, it was nice, huh? I got some great insights. So we explored intuition, and we had a really heart-opening morning. We had an opportunity to experience how Kathy masterfully weaves dreams and humor into her presentations. And we also sat in pairs and worked with intuition yesterday, and I might have even uncovered a potential new career path. However, since yesterday, I have used discernment and decided that, no, that's not what I'm going to do. So I've already put in place your wise wisdom to remember discernment. And so please help me welcome Reverend Kathy McCall.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to be here today. See many of you again, and some of you are new today. So happy to be here. I'm just thrilled to be on these sacred grounds with all of you and to be in this process. It's been fabulous so far. You've been so welcoming. And I want to give thanks to the welcoming team and to the board and the staff. You know, you've all just done a sensational job. So I think you should give yourselves a hand. And I'm grateful Harold's here today. That was funny because Amy emailed me and gave me a long description of the singer who's going to be here today, of Harold. And at the end, I emailed her back and said, LOL, he just sang at my church last week. So happy you're here. And I have to say that it's fabulous to have a great music director. It's such a blessing to minister. Yeah. I have an ear for music. I love music. I've worked with music directors. I've been the music director. I've assisted them. I know the flow of a service, but I have a confession. I cannot sing a note. For some reason, I just can't get it from here out. It's the darndest thing. And if I didn't need proof of that, when my oldest son was 18 months old, I sang him a lullaby, and he doubled up his fist and gave me a black eye. It's the truth. And he turned out to be a musician. So I knew exactly what he was doing. So I'm just saying, I'm really glad I'm not applying for a musical position. So, anyway, so let's begin. I'm not used to doing PowerPoints during my lesson, so we'll see how that goes. When I was 5 years old, my house burned down. And after that time, I began to think of God as fire. My father had been drinking late at night and sat down in his chair with a lit cigarette and fell asleep. And as divine intervention would have it, my 20-year-old brother walked through the front door, returning home from a date at that moment. Got some water, doused my father and the chair, got him out of the chair, put the chair out on the front yard, in the front yard, hosed it down, and came in, got my father up to bed somehow, upstairs. And then in a little while, came down, hosed the chair down some more, took it around onto a back screened porch. And during the night, some wind rekindled some embers in the chair, and the fire went straight up into the attic. The firemen later told us that we got out with only moments to spare because it was three stories with a big spiral staircase that was almost the first thing to go. It was just demolished. So the reason we were saved is because 3 weeks before, My father and I went down to a little corner market, and while we were there, they brought out a barrel of puppies, basket barrel of puppies. My father told me I could choose one, and I did, and we brought her home. She was small and white with sort of brown, soft brown ears, so we called her Taffy. And Taffy barked and barked and barked, and she was already house-trained, so my mother started to ignore her, but then she couldn't any longer, and anyway, that's how we were saved. And the fireman rewarded her with a T-bone steak. And this is her picture. Give you an idea of how small she was. And there's another picture, newspaper article. Pup saves SL Salt Lake family of five from flames. And one more, this is me with the doll that was saved and my puppy. So while we waited for the firemen to come, part of the house wasn't burning yet, so my father ran back in. But I wanted to say, I don't generally talk about astrology from the pulpit, but I just have to enhance this part of the story a little bit. My father was a Leo, and Leos are often in leadership and believe in achievement. So my father races back in the house, looks around for something to save, and he saves my brother's scrapbook with his high school sports achievements. He was best player of the year at East High in Salt Lake. My brother, the more analytical Virgo type, runs back in, looks around, saves my father's glasses. My sister and I, my sister was 14 at the time, we were both Cancerians, and that's a sign of home and family and nurturing. We watched from the safety of the house next door. I had my dog in my lap. And my mother, the kind of kooky, wonderful, eccentric Aquarian, ran back in, looked around for something to save, and off the top of a laundry basket grabbed her girdle. And we never let her hear the end of it, ever. So from that night on, God and fire became connected for me. Not only because, you know, I knew the fire was going to happen 2 weeks before and I tried to warn my family. But who would listen to a five-year-old about something like that? And what could have been done anyway? So it was the sense of a higher intelligence trying to help me in some way or to help me to know. I had that sense. And then also because it was so traumatic, it became this feeling of awe, really, because it so changed our lives overnight that something that powerful could come and make that kind of change and transformation. So I was aware of some feeling of awe and power. And so this association with God was very interesting, and to remember that I knew that at the time. Well, one man was very grateful to think of God in a new way. He was brought to Mercy Hospital and taken in for coronary surgery. And when he came out of surgery, he realized there was a Sister of Mercy sitting next to his bedside. She patted his hand and said, "Mr. Smith, you've had surgery, but everything's okay. You're going to be fine. But I just need to ask you, how do you intend to pay for your stay here? Do you have any insurance?" "No, sister." "Well, Is it possible you can pay cash? No, I'm sorry, sister. Well, do you have any relatives? No, just a poor sister or a sister in New Mexico. She's just a humble spinster nun, though. And the Sister of Mercy said, well, Mr. Smith, I must disagree with you. Nuns are not spinsters. We're married to God. And he said, well, wonderful. In that case, just send the bill to my brother-in-law. One of the most wonderful things about unity, I believe, is unity's teachings about God. You know, we all come here for various reasons. Some come for the music. Some come for the social aspect, to connect with others. Some come for the events, all kinds of reasons. But the bottom line is God. We're here about God. You know, most of us are seekers, and we long to know the divine. And sometimes we need divine comfort, or guidance, or prosperity. Or we may have a health challenge and need healing. See me limping a bit. I have an IT band injury in my thigh. So it weakened my strong leg, so I'm into physical therapy and prayer right now. And, have you ever had to learn patience? It's about patience. And I know that as a spiritual community, you have been learning patience. It's been a long process for you, many months. So through this period of transition, it invokes patience through all of the challenges that come with transition. So whatever our need is, you know, we long to know God's presence and power, God's love and light. So rather than the problem, let us keep our focus on God. A young woman brought her fiancé home to meet her parents. He was one who believed that God would help. And so after dinner, the father took the young man into his study to have a little chat. And so the father said, so what are your plans? And the young man said, I'm a theology student. And the father said, well, that's admirable, but how are you going to provide for my daughter? The young man said, well, I will study and God will provide. He said, well, that's great, but what if you have children? How are you going to buy a house and provide for the children? God will provide. This kept going on for a while, and then finally they left the study. The young man went home, and the mother came in and said to the father, how'd it go? And he said, well, he has no money. He has absolutely no employment plans. But on the other hand, he thinks I'm God. When I was applying for ministerial school, I still remember they asked me what my favorite unity principle was. And I said that there's only one presence and one power in the universe, God the good, omnipotent. And they tried to trip me up, and they played devil's advocate, and they said, how in the world can you possibly believe that? When all you have to do is walk down the street a few blocks or turn on the TV and people are getting robbed or raped or murdered. There's all kinds and forms of evil in the world. How can you believe in one presence and one power? I have absolutely no clue what I said. But somehow I got into school. But today I would say that there is absolute God mind, that realm of unchanging reality that is love, ever-present love. And then there's also the realm of the what we call the relative realm or plane. And this is the changing reality of the five senses, in which we do experience pain and suffering and evil. But it's not the true reality. Hindus call it Maya, illusion. We don't call it illusion so much. Although, there are those unity folks who say, I'm in hell, but it's not really hot. But, you know, this absolute God mind is what we focus on. And the more we focus on God, the more we create a higher reality. So one presence and one power in the universe is the first and basic premise of unity. If anybody asks you, what is unity's basic belief? That is it. One presence and one power in the universe, or active as the universe, whichever way you prefer it. And it is a power of love. You know, Albert Einstein once said that the most important question we can ask ourselves is the universe a friendly place? And unity's answer to that is yes. God is absolute good. Absolute good. Not punishing or vengeful, but absolute good. Children have some wonderful ideas and questions about God. Remember the book, Children's Letters to God? It's been around a while, but some of these comments are always so great to read or hear. Jane writes, Dear God, in Sunday school, they told us what you do. Who does it when you are on vacation? Charlene, Dear God, how did you know you were God? Norma asked, Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that? Or was it an accident? Nan asks, Dear God, who draws the lines around the countries? Dear God, is Reverend Coe a friend of yours, or do you just know him through business? Ruth M. writes, Dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions. And finally from Eugene, Dear God, I didn't know that orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made last Tuesday. That was cool. So unity is in good company, since the world's five major religions all believe in one presence and one power. You know, Hinduism is said to be a polytheistic religion, having many gods, but there's truly only one God in Hinduism, and that is Brahman. And all of the other gods are expressions of that one God, much as we would say in unity, we would talk about archetypes or the powers, expressions or attributes of that one God. You know, I did a world religion series in my church recently and just had a wonderful time with it. I invited leaders from the community of the different religions, brought them in on Sundays to dialogue with me. And when we came to Buddhism, that was fascinating because I had this Buddhist priest from downtown LA. He was from the Pure Land sect of Buddhism. And the first thing I asked him was, do Buddhists believe in God? Because supposedly they don't. And he said, oh, you're starting out with a very hard question. So I said, well, let me tell you first what unity believes, because we're not mainstream Christianity, though you might think we are. He really didn't know that. So I said, we believe in one presence and one power, God the good, omnipotent, which is all power, omniscient, all knowing, and omnipresence, everywhere present. And we're also panentheistic, which is we believe God is in us and we are in God, like the ocean is in the wave and the wave is in the ocean. And when I talk to children about God, I love to use the metaphor of Star Wars and the idea of the Force, because we have this life force that is all around us and within us. And he said, "That's amazing you would say that, because in my last class, I talked about the metaphor of Star Wars and the life force in all things." And it was like a revelation for us. It was this moment of connection. Because, you know, when they say don't believe in God, well, they don't believe in the anthropomorphic white male God with a beard up in the sky, but they do believe in the life force in all things. And that was enlightening. So I don't have time to go into each one, but, you know, also in Judaism, they believe in one God, the unnameable God, so they call him temporarily, because they can't name him Yahweh. And then there's also Christianity, who believes in one God, but a little bit different God than we talk about in Unity. Maybe a little more punitive. And then Islam borrowed many of its teachings from Christianity and Judaism, and believe in one presence and one power that they call Allah. Some say Allah, but it's Allah. So it was such a powerful process to go through that experience. You know, we each have our collective paths to God, depending on the spiritual tradition we've been brought up in, or the whether it's religious or spiritual. And we each have our own more individual path to God, which is important for each of us to reflect upon. My path has been very eclectic, not through traditional church, but through metaphysical teachings at a very young age. And I've always loved God. I passionately studied the Eastern and Western mystery or mystical traditions until I eventually found Unity. And I found Unity, I was living temporarily for a few months in Austin, Texas. I had one son at the time, who was 5, Chris, and we were in Austin alone. And I was in a grieving crisis. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anybody. And so I called the Unity minister. I had heard of Unity. I knew of it. I was aware of it peripherally, but I'd never been. So I called the Unity minister on the phone. And when he heard me crying, so he canceled all of his appointments and helped me process my grief all that afternoon. And then I began to attend his church just for the 3 months I was there. He played ragtime piano, never forgotten. And he fanned a flame within me, that flame of the divine. And then I moved away, and years went by. I remarried, had another son, and all 4 of us ended up one day standing in a Unity church in Portland, going through the membership process. And I just felt filled with gratitude, and I wanted to call and thank that minister. I couldn't remember his name, and I called the church, and because I couldn't remember his name that year, they couldn't remember who was there, and so nobody could tell me, and I just finally gave up. Until finally, I was between my first and second year of ministerial school, and I saw him at a conference. And I went across the room to him. His name was Reverend Jack Graff, and he was many years in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I went up to him and I said, "You don't remember me, But at your church, when you were serving in Austin, Texas, I came to you one day and you helped me process my grief. And I was only there a few months, but I just want to tell you, you lit this flame, you fanned this flame within me. And just want to thank you for the difference you made, because I'm about to go into my second year of ministerial school. Well, he just started to cry. He just had tears pouring down his cheeks. And I was just, it was that moment of gratitude after, you know, all the years. And so I was so thankful that I had that opportunity. And I remain grateful for the difference he made in my life, helping me to discover unity and also to deepen my relationship with God. Mark Twain tells about a time he went through a spiritual change in his life after he moved to Carson City, Nevada. He wrote a letter home and said, "Carson City is a den of iniquity, filled with wine, women, and song. Not a place for a good Presbyterian. Therefore, I no longer am one." Well, there's a spiritual practice for this first principle of unity, one presence and power, and that practice is called practicing the presence of God. And how do we do that? How do we practice the presence of God? Well, first, by feeling God's presence. Can you feel God's presence right now in this sanctuary? You can feel the love, feel the energy, feel the connection. So we just pause. We can feel God breathing through us. There's a Persian aphorism that says, "The eye through which you see God is the eye through which God sees you." Can you just imagine God looking through your eyes right now? So this is a very powerful practice to, throughout the day, just pause and practice trying to feel God's presence. Secondly, we practice the presence of God by looking for the blessing or the good in all things. Because whenever we find good, we find God. But you know, sometimes if we have a tragedy, we can't find the blessing immediately. We have to maybe wait a bit, and then we can look back and see it. I was thinking of the tragedy of my house burning down. Well, the very next day, my dad's employee, my dad owned an architectural hardware company, and his employee and protege, a man named Jack, brought his little daughter, Jill, who was 3, to meet me. I was 5, she was 3, and she brought a sack of clothes to me because all of my clothes were burned in the fire. And she turns out to be the great blessing from that tragedy for me, because we have been friends ever since. As a matter of fact, she has, for over 30 years, lived in Mission Viejo. And I've also been friends with her husband of many, many years, and was their maid of honor. And they're going to be here today at the second service. So that's a special blessing for me. And you know, since we're getting acquainted today, I just want to share with you some of my other blessings so you can know me a little better. I've been twice divorced. I have 2 sons, 1 from each, who are 7 years apart. And my 2 sons and their families are my great joy and blessing. And this is my son, Chris, and his wife, Melanie. They live in Santa Rosa, north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And he's an operations manager of 2 restaurants and a sommelier, a wine professional. and his wife Melanie works for County Animal Control. And they have two daughters. This is Melanie with both of their children. My little granddaughters, Kenna on the right, Linnea on the left. Linnea's on the left is the six-year-old. She just turned six. And Kenna on the right will be nine in 5 days. And these are my little sweetie pies. I adore them, and I adore all children, actually. And these are two of my grand dogs. Henry in the back, who's a mixture, and Yorba, Lab Golden with Golden. And the Yorba in the front is a service dog who just went back. He was with a prisoner first, and then had to be with the family, which is what they did, taught him how to be with the family. And now he's going on to help someone with a disability. This is my youngest son. Couldn't get a good close-up. But his name's Justin, and he lives in Minot, North Dakota. And this is his wife, Bethany. And he's a master electrician, and she owns her own dog grooming business. Both of my daughters-in-law are Aries, and they both work with dogs. And these are their two sons, my grandsons. Dylan on the left is 11, and he's in the chicken coop with their chickens. And Ethan on the right, showing off his teeth, he's 9. And now you see the product of the dog grooming business. This is Marley. He's a Labradoodle. And Labrador poodle, and he always has a mohawk. And these are the other two. And on the left is Flomar. She's a golden doodle, golden retriever poodle. And on the right is Pearl. She's a schnoodle, a schnauzer poodle. And this is a little deceptive because the one on the left is about 70 pounds and very tall. And the one on the right is 9 pounds. And she's the boss. So these are my grand dogs. I had to just introduce you. So finally, practicing the presence of God is also about passionately falling in love with God and the wonders of creation. Theologian Matthew Fox, who's one of my favorites, he said, we should all fall in love at least 3 times a day with a flower, a tree, an animal, a person, a collective group, whatever it is. And this weekend, I've fallen in love with all of you. And that's what being your minister should be all about. Loving you through it all. Loving you through it all. So as I begin to wrap up now, I just have to quote a passage from my book. I read this passage and thought, who wrote that? And I realized it was mine. It says, we take our journeys in life to become instruments of love, sacred passion, and power for the transformation and regeneration of all. And we discover that our personal divinity was there all the time. In closing, priest and scientist Teilhard de Chardin once said, someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love, and then, for a second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire. And the great Sufi poet Rumi said, set your life on fire. Seek those who fan your flames. So if we are meant to be together, you and I, it is my prayer that with God, we together will fan the flames of love and transformation for each other. It is my great honor to be here. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.